Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I'm very excited to introduce to you Al Lowe, who is the creator of Leisure Suit Larry. How are you doing, Al?
I'm great. How are you today?
I am bloody fantastic. Summer absolutely agrees with me. I am so digging this. And it is great to talk to you. I have so many questions, obviously Leisure Suit Larry related. What was going on in your head when you invented that?
That's an interesting question. Sometimes I ask myself that. I thought that, how far back do you want me to go?
Oh, all the way.
I was born a small black child. from the very beginning, I've always been interested in humor. I was never a comedian, although I tried. I never tried stand-up comedy, but in my jobs as a teacher and as a musician, I always tried to get laughs and sometimes succeeded. So humor was always important to me, and I couldn't believe that with all the video games that were on the market, none of them were really funny. And I thought it was time that something was funny. And what funnier to laugh at than geeky guy who can't score chicks? And that seems to me to be a source of endless humor over the course of history. So why not milk it a little more for a video game?
So when did this process start? Did you just have this idea? And then because we spoke to some app developers who created an app where you lick the phone to learn how to perform oral sex, and they did the whole app in 8 hours. So I'm very curious about how the process was for you in contrast when you were dealing with very different technology.
Well, honey, I take longer than that. When we were writing games back then, it took a long time because we didn't have tools. Today, this is hard to imagine, but we did that game before there was a Photoshop.
Mm, yeah.
And I say that to people and they go, what? How, that's not possible. How could you do something without Photoshop? And we literally had to invent the tools before we could make the games. One of the key and critical things that Ken Williams did, he was the head of Sierra, founder and head of Sierra, which was the largest publisher in entertainment software at that time. What he did was realize that if he built an engine, he could build multiple games on top of it and reduce the cost of development, and also get people like me, who really didn't have much of a background in programming. I mean, I taught myself basic at a time when I tried to take classes and there were none. So I had to buy books and type code in from magazines and things like that to learn how to code. Wow. So at that time, his idea to create an engine first and the tools to build games was really prescient. I mean, it was advanced stuff for 1983, I guess it was back then. And by the time I got a hold of that system in 84 or 85, it was a pretty advanced for that period. Today, it would be laughable, of course, but back then it wasn't. So to answer your question directly, the process at that time was a long and involved one. I spent 3 months working on the game, and the artist who worked on it spent 1 month of his evenings and weekends because he was working 40 hours a week on another game for Sierra. So I guess there were 4 man months in the project at the time. But it was a simpler time and a simpler game. And as the years passed, the teams and budgets grew. And until now you have, many figures to the left of the decimal. So,
yeah. So, my recollection of the game is very muddied by the passage of time.
And you were about 3 years old at the time, right? How old were you in 1987?
In 1987, I was just a little punkin'. Yeah. but I was alive. I will. Yeah, yeah, definitely alive. So the.
So wait, you're telling me I have games older than you?
You know, that happens.
Yeah!
It happens. Okay. No, like, sure. This is the thing. Like, I'm now getting to the age where I'm starting to have, like, those freak out moments. Like, I realize that, like, my undergrads, like, Kurt Cobain has been dead for their entire lives. And then that makes me feel some kind of way. So,
yeah,
you know, we just have our gradations of it. But so for anybody who didn't have the opportunity to play it or may not have gotten a chance to be familiar with it, could you describe, like, how the actual gameplay went, like the experience for somebody?
Well, first of all, it was an adventure game. And I have to probably define that for most people because there are some action adventures nowadays. And, you know, some games have adventure elements to them. But back then, there was a whole genre of games that consisted primarily of finding objects, mixing them together in interesting, creative ways, and looking at an environment on screen and typing in questions to the computer to inquire about things that you saw on the screen or about actions that characters took. So it was a thinking game. It was slow-paced. It didn't There was no twitch element whatsoever. I mean, literally, you would walk into a scene and you would look around and you'd see things that were mentioned to you in the description. You might look closer at that. You might talk to somebody and learn information from them or what someone wanted, and then find something later on. You go, hey, I think somebody back there needed some of those. And those kinds of puzzles where you put things together it was much more about deductive and logical reasoning than it was about speed or killing people. Yeah, there was no killing.
Yeah, I was going to say
that's odd, isn't it?
I don't remember any killing.
Yeah.
So how does this deductive reasoning? How does this like logical problem solving stuff factor into the plot line where this dude is trying to get laid? Like, how did that actually work out?
This was a simple story, which has been told many times. It was a 39-year-old virgin who was in lost wages for one night with the goal of losing his virginity. And he obviously did not have a good way with women. He stumbled around. But if you solved all the puzzles in the game, eventually he did get lucky. And, of course, back then it was so simple. We didn't show anything. There was no profanity in the game, no four-letter words, no nudity. It was all innuendo. But on the other hand, it was all funny, and it made fun of the hero. Leisure Suit Larry was an anti-hero, and he was a loser. All the women in the game were the smart people, the bright ones and so forth. And Larry was just kind of this putz who wandered around at your behest.
And how does he eventually win someone over to be interested in him?
Oh, well, you know, I'm almost embarrassed to say it's so simple, but he found a girl named Eve, and he had an apple with him that he'd found earlier, and one thing led to another. So it was not a complicated – the complication was getting to her, was okay. Finding her in this penthouse apartment, getting by the security and getting up the elevator and through the maze of rooms and so forth. But along the way, I mean, you had encounters with a blow up sex doll and with a hooker and with a gold digger and you know, several other women that got the best of you along the way. But if you persevered and eventually, you know, you would climb in the hot tub with Eve and give her your apple and fireworks would ensue.
So,
but I mean that literally.
Oh, okay.
There was no sex scene. It was literally we cut to a shot of fireworks.
So it's like when you win like Minesweeper or something.
Yeah, okay. or worse probably.
So I'm curious.
You
got
to understand, this was a game that was so large, it took two 360 kilobyte floppy disks to hold.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't fit on one 360K floppy. Hell, your wristwatch has more memory than this.
I'm also curious, like, why he didn't just go to the hooker, because that seems like that would have solved that much
Well, he
faster.
Did. He did, of course, and everyone who tried it did, and that's where my background as an educator came in, because if you had sex with a hooker and didn't use a condom, then your crotch disappeared later disappeared. In the game, and you could actually see through his middle. You remember, it was like what was that movie with Meryl Streep? And anyway, but there's literally a
Death
hole
becomes
appeared
her.
In the poor guy's groin, and he died. So if you had a condom, though, you could have sex with a hooker and survive,
okay.
But it was ultimately not very satisfying for him. And because she was not the greatest of actually she was hilarious very disgusting woman. So.
Okay, are we to assume then he had protected sex with Eve?
I don't know that I ever got around to checking to see if you were wearing one or not, but yeah, that'd probably been a good idea.
Yeah, it seems
but,
fair.
You know, like... it was the 80s and they were in a hot tub.
Okay.
And you know, everybody knows that hot tubs, you know, function as a, never mind.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, like, you know, as a fellow educator, like I would just like, you know, I would like that consistency of safer sex in terms of like, it's not that there are specific types of people that are more dangerous than others. It's behaviors that carry risks.
No, if you saw this gal, you would think she was dangerous.
Okay. Maybe just dangerous that she's going to like pull a knife on you or something. There's always, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So you had like,
she had a sign over her bed.
She had a sign over her bed?
That said substantial penalty for early withdrawal.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, she has her expectations, and she's
exactly.
going to communicate them clearly. So you had multiple versions of this, because it wasn't just the original one that just got popular. Like, it went on for quite a while.
It might set the record for the most revisions of any video game, because it started out in 1980 as an experiment by a database programmer to see whether he could write database code on an Apple II with one floppy drive.
Hmm.
And he needed a test case, and so he thought, well, I'll just write a little adventure game and see if it works. And he wrote this game called Soft Porn, which became something of a cult classic when Time magazine started a column on home computers and this phenomena that was sweeping the country. The first column that they ever did devoted half of this page to this game, Soft Porn. It was a huge seller at a time when Apple had sold 100,000 Apple II computers. Sierra had sold 25,000 copies of Soft Porn.
Wow.
And everybody I knew had a pirated version. So it pretty much achieved 100% penetration, if I may say so.
Ba-doom-tsh.
Ba-da-boom.
Yeah. So, and it's like, and it's not over yet either, because you had a new version come out last year.
Well, the game was so successful in 1987, when it came out, it won the Adventure Game of the Year award by the Software Publishers Association. It won lots of awards and things and was a huge seller. It got platinum. It went platinum and all those good things. Now, back then, those numbers were much smaller, but still, it was a huge success. So much so that in 1991, we decided to remake it with 256 colors.
Ooh.
Instead of just 16. And so we did a remake of it in 1991. And then about 3 years ago, we did a Kickstarter campaign to bring it back once again for tablets and modern phones, smartphones and PCs, Macintosh, computers, and just everything, all the modern machinery. And so now it's available once again. It's called Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded, but it's still the same basic plot. I must say, though, that the new version, instead instead of being 500 kilobytes, is I think 8 gigabytes. It's a large game. It's beautiful. It's in full, high-res Retina display quality, and a beautiful hand-drawn cell animation. Really a beautiful game, but it has probably 10 times the amount of dialogue as the original game, and therefore at least 10 times the jokes and laughs, because all the laughs were hidden in the dialogue between the characters and in the messages that you receive when you look around or try and do things in the game.
Has it gotten any more salacious? Is there pressure to, you know, compete with the massive amount of sexuality and nudity that is already existing in the market right now?
No, because the game, we funded the game on Kickstarter, and the people who supported it, in essence, became our publishers, became our bosses, and their goal was much more nostalgia, and they were interested in seeing the game again in the modern way, in a modern look and sound with, you know, real voiceover acting and so forth, and so we kept the plot essentially the same. It's still 1987. You're still wearing a leisure suit, and you're still out of date, except now that you're 25 years out of date instead of 10. So, yep.
And is he still aiming for, like, the same class of women? Like, is there ever
any women?
Any women at
woman.
All? Okay.
Yes, he's still aiming for any woman.
Okay, so he's not necessarily.
No, it's not a variant on the. It's still okay. The same okay. Basic storyline and so forth, but it's just see, here I go again. It's fleshed out.
Okay.
Sorry, it just comes naturally.
Did he ever think about expanding his parameters? Maybe he would have more luck with some dudes.
No, that's not Larry.
Oh, that's not his speed.
That's some other game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
He has enough trouble trying to figure out one sex, let alone multiple.
All right. Well, maybe that'll be like next generation game is.
Well, you know, the game went on to many sequels. I believe we did. I think it's also famous because, as far as I know, it's still the only game that did 6 sequels, numbered 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
I never did Larry 4 for a variety of reasons, but it just became a great joke it seemed like a funny thing, because who says sequels have to be done in sequence?
Yeah, that's brilliant. There's got to be like some obscure like rap lyric about Leisure Suit Larry 4 somewhere.
Oh, there's plenty. If you do a web search for Larry 4, you'll find a lot of things. But the truth was that when I finished the third game, that games were trilogies at best, and so were stories and movies, books and movies. You didn't have, you know, 26 books in a series or 7. You had 3. And that was the traditional number. And so I thought, well, when the third game's over, I'll wrap it all up, put a bow on it, and it'll be done. And I did that, and then, damn it, the sales were even better, and all the sales team kept going, well, you got to do another one. And I said, I can't. I don't. I've got him all tied up. I don't have a way to get a story started. So I thought, well, you know what? Why do I have to do the next one? I'll just skip ahead. And then it became a funny running joke, because I could refer back to things you remembered from Larry 4, which, of course, you know, you didn't remember anything because it didn't exist. But that became a running gag throughout Larry 5.
Is it safe to say that due to the success of all of this, you have your own hot tub now?
Yes, but now I'm too old to enjoy it with anyone. So.
Oh, that's BS. That is BS. Disagree.
Oh, that's the line I'm going with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So how can people find out more about the game, more about you? What else are you up to?
Oh,
like,
Sure. It's allo.com is the easy way. It's just like it's spelled, A-L-L-O-W-E. Nice little short six-letter domain. Allo.com's got complete information. The game is in the Play Store and the Apple Store on Steam and everywhere. Everywhere games are downloaded these days. Hmm. So you might actually be able to find a disc or two floating around.
Oh,
we did do a set of wonderful commemorative discs and awards for our Kickstarter campaign. So there are Leisure Suit Larry shot glasses and condoms floating around places and stuff. I'm sure you could find them on eBay.
But if you
like sex and you're not very good at it, this is the perfect game for you. But it's a funny game, and it's funny about the thing that we all care about most.
And are you a gamer yourself? Like, do you like playing this? Do you like playing other people's games? Like, are there other ones that you really enjoy?
I was when I started. Before I got into the business, I was an avid gamer and played all the time. But once I started writing games, it suddenly became market research. And I was always watching, how the gears worked and what happened here and why did he choose that algorithm and why would you have that character do this, and it became much more of an analysis instead of enjoyable to me. So I kind of got out of gaming, and then once I retired 15 years ago, I went on to other things, I've enjoyed my retirement immensely. So I'm not much of a gamer anymore, I have to admit.
Do you have any opinions on, like, a lot of the games that are out now? And like, specifically what comes to mind for me is how dramatic – like, when Leisure Suit Larry was out, I remember hearing about it as a fairly controversial thing. Now, granted, I was a kid at the time, so that would be why it would be couched that way to me. But, like, that it was somewhat controversial because, the topic is just sort of taboo. And there were some implications, that some people found it sexist. But in contrast to, like, games that exist now, like Grand Theft Auto, where you can go, kill,
sure,
streetwalkers, and
right,
you can, the massive amount of nudity and really, really apparent sexism that's available in just regular games now that aren't necessarily, like, trying to be a sex game. Do you have any reaction to that?
Oh, no, my reaction was that I'm glad that I could break ground and allow this topic to be told in video games. But they're doing things far beyond what I thought. And remember, I didn't do this for sex. I mean, my games weren't about sex. They were about laughing. And sex was the thing that I used to make people laugh. So, I'm glad to see, I'm all for freedom of expression. I'm glad to see games have some of the freedom that film and books have. It always irked the hell out of me that video games couldn't be sold at Walmart because they had nudity or they had this or that. And yet across the aisle at Walmart from the video games were the books, which had every description of sex possible. They sold all the paperback books and all those things, and that was no problem whatsoever, but it couldn't happen in video games. So I think we've grown a little past that video games are only for children crap that we had for years. And as far as my opinion on modern games, I don't play them, so I'm not a good person to judge that.
Fair enough. Cool. So any other projects that you're working on right now that people should know about? Or, I mean, I understand.
Well, for the past 16 years, every weekday morning, I've sent out two jokes to my joke list, my email joke list, which is called Cyberjoke 3000, in case you're interested. Anyway, I have this list that I've sent out for years. I have 7,000 jokes. I have a database on my website where you can go and search using regular old Google search terms, go through the entire database, find whatever kind of humor you want. If you want a joke every morning to start your morning with, I promise one of the jokes is clean.
Okay. So how can people get on this email list?
Oh, just go to allo.com and click on the link, and it'll start coming the next morning. And you get two jokes a day every weekday morning.
All right. That's a hell of a deal.
Yeah. If you don't like it, you get double your money back.
All right. Well, Al, thank you so much. This has been a total pleasure, and people should definitely check out your work at allo.com. That's L-O-W-E, correct?
A-L-L. Oh, it's the other way of spelling all O.
Okay. All right.
Everybody owes. So, yeah, allo.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. This is a lot of fun.
A pleasure.
And thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a great day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.
Hello, podcast fans. Adam Carolla here. I'm leading the fight against patent trolls who are threatening this medium. It's not about me. It's about the podcast you're listening to right now. If I go down, this show could be next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll for more information on how you can keep podcasting alive. Thank you and mahalo.